As I read that passage, I believe God, through the Word of God, is trying to warn us about being too concerned for temporal things. Now, listen, there has to be some concern. You know that as well as us. That's why we have jobs. That's why we go to work. That's why we pay our bills. But there's a warning about being too concerned, because what's the key here? It's temporal. The stuff that he's talking about in there is just temporal things. And so once again, guys, as Christians, as people that want to be like Christ, we must have our priorities right. If there's one thing the devil is trying to mess us up about now, is if he can just get you to put something in its improper place above something else, he's going to mess up your walk with God. He's going to mess with your mind. He's going to mess with your heart. He's going to mess with your joy. He's going to mess with your peace when you get your priorities. And so what's the Bible do? The Bible gives us a battle plan because we're soldiers. The Bible gives us blueprints because we're builders. And it gives us standards. And he gives us guidelines. Why does he give us that? He wants us to live a victorious life. If anybody ought to be joyful, if anybody ought to be skipping through life, irregardless of the circumstances, it ought to be you and I. And he wants us to have, we sing victory in Jesus, but there's very little victory in some of God's people's lives. And guys, listen, if from the day that we got saved, God never did anything for us, we're still in the plus column here. Our sins are gone. We're sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. We are redeemed. We're bought back. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not a matter of if we're going to heaven, it's just when we get there by the grace of God. And, you know, the older I get, you know, like I was telling some of the folks, Brother B.A. is a good, good man up there at Old Time, and his wife's name is Erica, and Erica's mom was a member of that church, and wherever you saw Mrs. B.A., you saw her mom, and she's just a sweet lady. She loved the Lord, a faithful church member, a hard worker. Just, you couldn't say anything negative about her. Well, when I get up there, I find out that she had been diagnosed with cancer like 11 weeks ago, and they buried her the other day. And that's a devastating thing when you're that close. But, you know, at my age, when you talk about people at my age and they're in heaven, you know, I have a whole hard time getting real down about that. Because if you interviewed Erica's mom right now and said, hey, listen, we'll give you a chance to go back down there to Buffalo, New York. They're going to have a nice big cold winter. How would you leave heaven? I'm not sure that you could get her to do that. You follow what I'm saying? Heaven is not a bad thing. You know, dying for a child of God, it's not supposed to be. It's a graduation service. It's a rejoicing. It's a magnification. If that person has lived for God, you know what I'm saying. And so, God, the Lord wants us to be victorious. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. You better keep your finger in Matthew 6 because I will be going back there. And Matthew chapter 10. Let's pick up in verse 28. Matthew 10 and verse 28. Matthew 10 and verse 28. The Bible says this, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not, the sparrows, shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Doesn't say he knows how many hairs are in your head. He doesn't say that. The very hairs. You know, sometimes I go in there into the sink and there's some of those long gray hairs there. You know what I'm talking about? And so I said, there's number 1,476. And there's... Well, I'll bet you she finds whiskers in the sink sometimes. Amen? I wasn't being ugly. I was just stating a fact, you know. He was amening that awful hard, wasn't he? Maybe there's an issue there. Maybe we ought to... Verse number 31. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Hey, there's several of you out witnessing yesterday, and Pastor Matt said he ran into quite a few people that not only were not interested, but were very rude about being not interested. And you know what? We don't want anybody to go to hell, but there's coming a day that those people that you knocked on their doors and you invited them to church and you tried to give them a track and you tried to talk to them about Christ, that they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And I'm telling you what, you believe what you want to believe, but you'll be there in that crowd, not the crowd getting judged, but the crowd that's witnessing them getting judged. And I'll tell you what, I know my Father in heaven. He'll go, hey, you know, here you are, you're lost without God. Oh, have mercy on me, Lord. Oh, wait a minute. There's Pastor Keenan. He knocked on your door back in 2000. Hey, there's Miss Maurice and her girls. They knocked on your door over there, and you didn't want anything to do with it then. Say amen right there. I mean, this is very serious business with our precious Lord, the souls of men and women, boys and girls. So he says, confess them, verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. I got news for you, people. God has every right in the world to deny that I'm one of his children. But I'm telling you, if we're saved, what is wrong with you that you would deny the Lord Jesus? I don't care who it's before. I don't care what the crowd is, what the relationship is. That is the greatest. I can't think of anything worse that could be put to a man or a woman's account that they deny Jesus Christ. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. They would not deny the Lord. They were burned at the stake. They had screws put through their mouth. They were literally skinned alive. They were crucified upside down. They were beat within inches of their life. They were tortured, and they would not deny Christ. We're not anywhere near being tortured for crying out loud, and we would deny knowing Jesus Christ? Shame on you. You should be ashamed of yourself. The lovely Lamb of God. God help us now. Verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Once again, our Bible is emphasizing what is of value to our Lord. Guys, again, priorities, values, okay? You know, we're coming into football season in America, and because of the culture that we're in, that is the most popular sport, and it consumes the billions of dollars of shirts and jackets and shoes and all that tickets and all that foolishness. And, you know, you're going to do whatever you want to do. That doesn't matter. But to put an emphasis on football over the Lord Jesus Christ, your priorities are skewed. It's not right. And so our Lord, he's trying to emphasize what's of value to him. But God doesn't care about football. No, seriously. You know, they don't. You know, Sunday nights, they don't have a scoreboard in heaven. Oh, look, the Eagles lost. Oh, people now, oh, man, the Eagles lost. Can you imagine? Such foolishness. Such foolishness. Let's keep your finger. I'm gonna go back and forth to Matthew 6 and Matthew 10. In Matthew 6, look at verse 25. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Guys, life is more than meeting your physical needs. It's not just about how you look, how you feel. It's about salvation. It's about your walk with the Lord. It's about your ministering to others. Look at verse 25 again. God can meet all of your needs. I mean, it talks there about a sparrow. We read about a sparrow. Well, I mean, how helpless is a sparrow for crying out loud? And God meets the needs of a sparrow. We're more valuable than that. We're more valuable than birds. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Good night. If he's feeding birds, isn't he going to feed you and I? Do you remember, who's that poet who went to be with Lewis? Willard Thomas. Willard Thomas was from Georgia. And Willard worked at a feed company. and it was a real cold winter for Georgia, colder than normal. So, you know, they weren't having any winter harvest or anything like that. And this truck came in with some grain or some corn, and it came in from the Midwest to this feed place that Brother Willard worked at. And he noticed that the truck was coming in, and it was coming around the corner of the feed mill. When it went around the corner, some of the corn or the grain fell off the top of the trailer, and it fell to the ground. And then it went out around the corner. And he said within 60 seconds, I don't know if he called them sparrows or what he called that hung around there they were. They were just descending on that corn and descending that. And Willard was looking out the window of his office, and he saw that, and he said, "How about that?" He said, "My Heavenly Father brought corn or grain from the Midwest to feed these sorry birds here in Georgia." Now, if he would do that for birds, how much more would he do for you and I, his children? And so, according to chapter 6, verse 33, we learn from the Word of God, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." So we see the saved person's priorities ought not to be physical. They ought to be spiritual. Now listen, every one of us in here, we give care to the temporal needs that we have. But I'm asking you this, would you let the Holy Ghost speak to your heart this morning if maybe you're skewed and given more emphasis to the temporal than you are to the spiritual? Now, it looks to me that most of y'all got washed this morning. I appreciate that. Washed your hair. Smells like most of y'all did deodorant. You ladies, it doesn't look like you rolled out of bed, and the bed hair you had is the hair you have in church tonight. Looks like you brushed it, curled it, straightened it. I mean, you know, right? Am I telling it right? Okay. It looks like you used an iron on your clothes. And by the way, I'm for ironing your clothes. Amen. Brian, could I get an amen there? Ironing the wrinkles out of your clothes. Amen, amen. Y'all with me? Now, this is what I ask you. How much did you take care to get ready spiritually? Come to church. Spend some time in that book. Did you pray for your preacher? Oh, God, please help my preacher. My preacher needs help. I need help, so if I'm going to get any help, my preacher needs help, Lord. You with me? Did you pray for each other? You know, people carrying loads in here. People carrying burdens. And I'm going to get into that this morning. Sometimes we're so self-centered. We forget that there's others going through stuff. And we've been blessed. Oh, have we been blessed more than somebody else because we're so much better? Because we're so spiritual? No. We've just been blessed. And so, look at chapter 6, verse 34. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." You know, some of you woke up worrying about tomorrow, and you haven't even gotten through today yet. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So once again, the Bible is emphasizing what's of value to our Lord. The Lord says, hey, you might not even be here tomorrow. Why fret and waste time and energy on tomorrow? Let's go to Matthew 10, verse 28. Says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are able," you know what it says. So what's it saying? You ought to fear God. You know, some of y'all fear your bosses more than you fear God. Some of you fear your relatives more than you fear God. What's the Bible say about the fear of the Lord? Beginning of wisdom and beginning of knowledge. So you're not even close to wisdom, and you're not even close to knowing anything if you have no fear of God in your heart. But you fear man. I wouldn't knock on a door and invite him to church. Why wouldn't you? Scared of man, that's why. Huh? I'm not getting involved in nothing. Why wouldn't you get involved in anything? Fear of man. And so look at chapter 10, verse 31. Chapter 10, verse 31. "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." I want to ask you a question. I want you to think. Now, I know it's hard. You don't have your clicker in your hands, Brother Sam would say. What are you worth? Now, don't just say the first thing. What are you worth? What's your value? Are you valuable? How valuable are you, Dan? Okay. But you're even more valuable than that. How valuable are you? How about that? She said, valuable enough for Jesus to come to earth, die for you.
Amen.
You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood. Somebody says, well, I'm not worth anything. Well, you don't have God's mind. You're so valuable that God saw your never dying soul and the love of God moved on him. I want to die. I want to shed my blood. I want to pay the atonement necessary to redeem your soul. That's how valuable you are. You know, guys, it's vitally important. It's vitally important. You know, words have the power of what? Life or death. And I'm telling you, there's physical abuse that people go through, and that's a terrible thing. But I'm telling you something that I think is even more damaging than physical abuse is mental and psychological and verbal abuse. As a husband and wife, your responsibility is to nourish her. You're to cherish her. Well, nourishing, you know, nourishing is about feeding and caring for and enabling something to what? Grow and flourish. But you must nourish it, correct? Proper water, proper oxygen, proper sunlight, proper keeping the weeds out and that kind of stuff, you know? And so the way you nourish and cherish it is verbal. There's a lot of verbal things there. But on the same hand, we can be so selfish and so self-centered and so consumed with me that if everything just isn't exactly right, we say something sharp and cutting, and that cuts them down. That cuts them down. And then, you know, before long, if she, and I'm not saying Dan's doing it, I'm just using them as an illustration. Before long, she gets so much negative, cutting feedback, she's thinking what? Can I do anything right? Can I do anything right? And where'd she get that from? The one who's supposed to be nourishing and cherishing and helping her to be able to be in an atmosphere that she can grow. Are y'all with me? Well, can I say something? As brothers and sisters in Christ, should we be cutting, criticizing, tearing down, causing doubt in their mind if they're worth anything or if they can do anything? Do we always have to have a negative response to everything? How about thank God they gave it the best shot they could? Thank God they tried to be a blessing to somebody by the grace of God. And hey, they're young. They'll learn. They'll pick up from their mistakes. They'll do better the next time. But thank God they tried to do something for the Lord. And I mean, that goes down to our kids. I mean, listen, we want to raise up godly children. We want to raise up some children with some character. Don't misunderstand me. You got to have discipline if you're going to have character. But I mean to tell you, man, when they do something and they give it their best shot, how about lifting them up? How about thanking them? How about telling them, hey, that's a good job, man? I'm trying to get through to you the value that you and I have. Now, well, I don't like Mrs. Keenan. Well, God does. Well, you know, that Lydia, she's such a brat. Well, you know what? You're not her size, but you're a bigger brat than she is. Do you understand what I'm getting at here? We need to get God's view on some of this stuff. I was so proud of Caleb. Hey, you know, Caleb has a pride problem, doesn't he? Yeah, I know he did. I mean, they get all our bad traits. You know, we got one or two good traits. They never get them, Marisa. They always get all the bad. But you know, Dan was out of town. Pastor Matt just got back in town. He got tied up on Tuesday. And he texted me. And he said this. He said, hey, Dad, he said, I can't. He said, do you think Caleb could handle the prison by himself? I said, you know what? I think it's a good chance for him to take a step up and do it. And so I said, God, help him. He was, number one, he was willing to do it. He didn't say, oh, I'm not going to jail by myself. I'm 22 years old. Those guys might rape me or something. No, he stepped right up to the plate. Sure, Pastor Matt, I'll be glad to do it. And then he goes in there, he prays, he studies, he's got to do the song leading, he's got to do the special, he's got to do the praying, he's got to do the preaching. He stands up and he says, hey, guys, I'm here by myself tonight. What exactly did you say, Caleb? So can you guys show me some support? They all stood up and clapped. Yes! So I said, how did your service go? He said, preacher, they listened. There's no distractions. It went good by the grace of God. That's good stuff. Amen. But don't you get puffed up and proud about it. Y'all with me? Somebody says, well, he probably didn't preach as good as his dad. Hey, he's 22 years old. I tell you what he did. He did the best job he could, and God was happy with it. And those prisoners were glad he came. Am I making any sense to y'all? We ought to fear God. Value. That's how valuable you are. You look up here. I don't care what y'all been through. Not everybody realizes what y'all have been through. Even your pastor doesn't realize everything you have been through. I don't know what you girls have been through. I don't know what you single women have been through. Not firsthand. But I tell you, you're valuable to God. Your value hasn't decreased. Your value has increased. It's increased. And then, another thing that we learn that's valuable to God, verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Hey guys, I don't want to get to the judgment seat, and there's God the Father, there's God the Son, there's God the Holy Ghost, and there's Michael T., and it's Keenan, Michael T. Keenan. I step up there. And there's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Father, there's Michael T. Keenan. He denied me down there, Lord. He was ashamed of me. He wouldn't tell nobody about me. He wouldn't pass a gospel tract. He wouldn't knock on the door. He wouldn't invite. I mean, when people started talking about the Lord, he got red-faced and got out of the crowd. He was ashamed of me, Lord. Now, if I did that to you in front of 35 people, you'd be what? You'd be embarrassed. How are you going to feel you standing before Jesus Christ? See those wounds in his hands that he did for you. And you were ashamed of him? In God's eyes, Peter, that is very valuable when you step up and you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. And all of us, we get opportunities to do it in the neighborhood. We get opportunities to do it at work. We get opportunities to do it as we come and go. Relatives, y'all with me? Sometimes it's in front of relatives we ought to be the best testimony because they need it the most. And that's the time we shut up the most. Sort of hide those convictions we have. Say amen. That's very valuable to God. So as the birds are all around us and our Heavenly Father is watching them, I'd like to say our Heavenly Father is also watching us. And as our Heavenly Father is caring for and taking care of the birds, he's caring for and taking care of us. So I got three simple little points that I'd like to preach to you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 again and look at verse number 31. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 31. The Bible says this in Matthew 6 and verse 31. Therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Can I say something? God has your attention. Your Heavenly Father has your attention. You have His attention. Anybody know how much a farthing is in today's money? It's less than a penny. When I did the research, it was 1/4 of a penny. That's a farthing. How many of you stop and pick up a penny on the ground? Marisa. Well, Benjamin Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. That's what he said. You're right. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. There's times that I have swept up the basement, you know, and there's been a penny or two in there, and I've just dumped it in the trash. I know I shouldn't, but I have. Oh, sorry, Marisa. Forgive me. But a sparrow that's worth less than a penny has our Father's attention. So this is what I say. You have your Father's attention. He loves you. We have the attention of our Heavenly Father. Can I put it this way? Can I put it that the Lord's concerned about us? You know, guys, sometimes we're close to people and people go through life and we don't realize some of the handicaps or the burdens or the problems that they've carried through life. Look, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody today. I hope you understand. I'm trying to help you. I want to give you a couple of scriptures. Do you mind if I take a minute and give them to you? Go with me to Psalm 68, verse 5. Psalm 68, verse number 5. Let me pick up in verse 3, guys. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Verse 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. I'm going to chase a little rabbit here at Old Paths Baptist Church. Do you mind if I do that? We have some children in our church. We have some young people in our church that are fatherless. There's tragedies that have happened in their homes, and we're not going into the tragedies. We're just looking at the results of the tragedies. And here's the thing. Nobody, there isn't a human being that can replace a father. Do you understand that? But you know what God the Father said? He said he would be the father to the fatherless. And so that is a great thing. Once again, if the priority in an individual's life is spiritual, then what they can do is they can find the Father, God the Father, our Heavenly Father, to make up for the lack of an earthly father. But you know what? That's usually for mature people, a little bit older people. What about younger people? I'd say it's pretty hard for a 4 or 5 year old. To understand that concept. I'd say it's pretty difficult for a 2 or 3 year old or maybe a 9 or 10 year old. And so, you know, the church, guys, you know, lots of people have turned the church into an evangelistic instrument. If you read your Bible, the church was never to be evangelistic. I mean, we're supposed to be evangelistic. We're supposed to go out. We're supposed to be a family. When we gather together, we're supposed to worship God. So they call it a worship service in most churches because in the old days, they gathered to worship God. Now, if a lost person came in, which is fine, we're glad for that, they could hear the gospel and be saved. But see, what they should see is they should see an environment that is completely different from anything. They should see a church service. They should hear music. They should hear speech. They should see dress. They should see interaction that they never see out in the world because that's a family of God. We have met together on purpose. Brethren, we have met to worship. Y'all with me? And so what's a family do? Well, buddy, when somebody's in trouble in a family, the rest of the family comes to their rescue, comes to their aid. And so we have children. We have young people that are fatherless. And we're not going to try to take the place, but we can aid. We can help. We can be a blessing. A grandfather and a father are different. An uncle and a father are different. A brother in Christ and a father, that's different. But there's the ministry of help. That what some of those kids are missing, we can help give Now look up here. What's it going to cost you? Time. What's your most valuable commodity? What's the most valuable thing you've got? It's your time. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I don't want to just help Colin and Abe. I want to help Gina. I don't want to just help Colin and Abe and Gina. I want to help Gia. I don't want to just help Ben. I want to help the girls. I said, they're adults. They're girls. Go with. But that shouldn't just be the pastors. All of them. If I took you fishing, okay, I couldn't catch a cold. And the chances of you catching a fish are minimal. But you know what? We got a fisherman in the church. We got a guy who used to fish in tournaments. He knows about rods. He knows about reels. He knows about fish. He knows about bait. He knows about hooks. He knows about casting. But you know, he has a bad past. You know, some people would hold somebody's past against them. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a shame some of his children can't learn that. There's lots of stuff you don't know about me. There's some of you here. If you knew about my past before I got saved, you might not even stay. But you know, the Lord's never brought that up, has he? You never heard your preacher brag about it. Never heard his wife complain about it. Because it's under the blood. Y'all with me? I'm just trying to say that we have our Heavenly Father's attention. And see, if we have our Heavenly Father's priority list, then we see how important these people are. And so what we would do is we would give of the most valuable thing to us. And listen, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Amen? Colin was having some issues, and Grace said, Dad, I think he needs to be around a man. And so I said, sure. So we started started doing stuff on Thursday. Colin, remember when you had off school on Thursdays and Pop would come over to Aunt Hannah's and pick you up and we'd go out? Do you remember that? Do you remember any places that Pop took you? Nice and loud. Tell me a place Pop took you. We went to the pet shop. You know what the pet shop is? A cheap zoo. Didn't have to pay admission. There's frogs. There's turtles. There's fish. There's all kinds of stuff in there running up and down the aisles. And as long as he didn't pull anything off, I didn't have a problem with it. Do you remember any other place that we went Pop took you? Besides the pet store? Walmart! And what else did we go to after Walmart? With the screw gun? Home Depot? Once again, how much did they charge me to get into Walmart? They didn't charge me nothing. I didn't get out of there with them. But I went to Home Depot. Man, we got the screw guns. We got people walking by looking at us. I didn't care if they looked at me with 14 eyes. I had my grandson and we're going to screw screws in the wood. Amen. Where else? You remember another? We only went this place one time. It's close to your house. The airport. What did we do when we sat in the car before we went into the airport? You don't remember? Did we pray? What did we pray for? Did we pray and ask the Lord to let us see some jets take off and land? Some plans? You know, it's a county airport, guys. I mean, instead it's 4 o'clock in the morning, you know? So we went in there and we got something to eat. Remember that? And they got the windows there. And we prayed in the car. I said, now, Lord, if we could just see a jet or a plane take off or land. How many did we see that day? A bunch, huh? How much did that cost us? Just all the food you ate. Man, you can eat a lot of food. You know that? You understanding me? You know, up in New York, I had some men take my boys. Now, my boys had a dad. But they took my boys and they taught them some things about the greenhouse, about construction, about heavy equipment. You know what they did? They invested in the life of my son. And you know what? I sure appreciate that. Do you think Pastor Matt has invested in your life? Do you know why? Because he looks back on his life and he sees the men of God that invested in him and what it made for him. What about all of us? It's not just that. What about all of us? And I'm not saying we, you know, those girls have taken Matt's kids so many times on a Saturday, taking them to someplace I wouldn't have taken them. And I don't mean that it was bad. It wasn't bad. But I don't like crowds and all that stuff, but they do. Those kids that see me and they say, guess where we went? And be all excited about it. So what is it? Just investing? I hope you see how valuable we are to our Father and how valuable we should be to one another. Huh? Erica was such a blessing. Erica and Naomi, I think they stay up at night trying to work out ways to be a blessing to somebody. No, I mean that. I mean that in my heart. That Erica, that first week she was working, remember that? She only worked 3 days. She had 2 days off. Well, buddy, if I got 2 days off, okay, I'm looking for R&R. No, not her. One day, she babysat for two different people that week, I think. Am I remembering that? She took your kids one day. And she took your kids one day. Oh, yeah, she took them down to the museum. They're my grandchildren. I don't know if I'd get them in that touch museum or not. I'd need Graham to do that with me. Just trying to help some kids. I wonder why she did that. I wonder if she remembers back when she was a kid and riding that bus. Some of the folks at Old Pad being a blessing to her. What it meant to her and how it got her at this time of her life. And listen to me, I think some of you are doing a great job. I'm not rebuking you. I'm not scolding you at all. I'm trying to encourage you. I don't know how many friends you make. Papa, what are you? Papa Bear. That kid loves kids. You ever watch the kids around here, around him? Like a magnet. He's got... And there's nothing wrong with that, buddy. You got a whole life to be a grumpy old man like your dad. We have our Father's attention. I mean, He loves us, God. We ought to be a blessing. But you know what? We have ladies in here that don't have husbands. And then, once again, it's because of tragedies. Look at Isaiah 54. Now, you know what I could do? I could get real mean and ugly and say, you ladies that have husbands, you gripe against them and complain about them. But I'm not going to do that. You ought to be thankful for what you have. And so, Isaiah 54, verse 5. I know I was getting on Steph this morning. I said to her, she gets the best of my, progeny. I said, you get the best of my progeny and you're grumpy with me. I mean, how do you do that? She goes, I didn't even know I was grumpy. And I was just teasing her. Isaiah 54, verse number 5. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. I know a lady And she married a guy, and the guy was a preacher. And I know the guy. I know the lady. I knew him when they were younger. And they had three children. And that guy left that woman. I mean, just up, and he just left. And he didn't send no money to the children. He didn't visit the children. He didn't do nothing. He's just a pain in the butt, just to put it plain. He put that girl through lots of trials, lots of stress, lots of care, and it's not good. And I preached in her home church every year. I've preached in her home church every year for, probably 10 or 12 years. And so I watched it from when she didn't know the guy, when she met the guy, when she courted the guy, courted all right and everything like that. Had the approval of the dad and the pastor, the whole nine yards. You understand me? And watched them get, and those babies were born and all that kind of stuff. And then the tragedy happens, you know. And I watched this girl. And so I know this girl. I mean, you know, she's on my prayer list. Those three children are on my prayer list. And a couple years ago, I can't remember how many years ago, so don't nail me down. And I had a private moment with her before church, and I called her name, and I said, sweetheart, you know I'm praying for you, and I know you're having a rough time. I said, I just want to know how you're doing. Boy, tears welled up in her eyes, just like that. And this is the verse she took me to. She said, preacher, this year God showed me. She said, I was always feeling bad because I didn't have a husband, and I had all this responsibility, and I did that, and all that stuff, you know. And I'm not criticizing her a little bit. But she said, but God, she said, I was reading my Bible one morning. God gave me this verse. And she said, can I show it to you? I said, yeah, show it to me. And that's the verse. I have it marked in my Bible with her name beside it. So I remember to pray for her. She said, God told me in my devotion that it wasn't my fault and that he would be a husband. And she said, preacher, I'm not telling you I don't have any bad moments. But my bad moments have sure minimalized since God gave me. You know what she did? She found out that even though her situation was terrible and it wasn't her fault, God cared about her. God had her attention. She had God's attention, and he was putting his attention towards her. She was not forgotten. She was not scorned. She was not blacklisted with God. Buddy, that's a great thing in life, amen? You get God to talk to you. I'm telling you, he's concerned. He has our attention when we have victory. You know, sometimes, guys, we get victory, and what do? We get proud. He'll try to keep us humble. Any victory you and I get, any victory, it comes from God. It wasn't because you're a super Christian or I'm a super Christian. There's no such thing as super Christian. It's all about God. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the dark hours of life, we have God's attention. I learned this from Brother Jack Wood. Brother Jack told me, one of the first years that I knew him, back in the early 80s, this is what he said. He said, Mike, I've been through a lot of dark times in my life. He said, do you know what I do when I get through the dark times in my life? I said, what do you do, preacher? He said, I start in Psalm 1, and I just read. When I get to Psalm 50, if I don't find help, I start back in Psalm 1, and I do it again. That old man shared with me. Brother Jack was in South America, I think it was Paraguay, and he had been sort of running from God. He was disenchanted with the Baptist government and Baptist politics and all that stuff. And he took a group of people, went down there to Paraguay, South America, and set up a little colony type thing. And he was running cattle and running horses through the green jungles of Paraguay, I think it was Paraguay. And one night he would gather up these wild cows and all this kind of stuff. And one night a storm came in, and he found a hollowed out log. And he slipped into that hollowed out log. And the rain's coming down, and still some's leaking in there. And Brother Jack said, God, if you want me to stay in Paraguay the rest of my life and sleep in hollowed out log, he says, as long as I can have your presence and as long as I can have your peace, that's what I want. There has to be a hungering and a thirsting on our part. But I'm telling you, you have God's attention. You kids, you're starting another year of school. I know you kids think these are the longest years of your life. but they're the best years of your life. And even as you have struggles in school and struggles at home, I'm telling you, you have your Heavenly Father's attention. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. I am not more special to God than you are, Joshua. Just as special to God as anybody in the world. You got a problem. You got a care. You got something you need some help with. You can go to your Heavenly Father and you can get help. In times of sorrow, John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. I can hear Brother Earl. Let not your heart be troubled. That ought to be enough. He being dead, yet speaking. In times of disappointment, we got his attention. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. There's times that I have prayed about stuff. And I mean, I've had a verse. And I know God gave me that verse. And I have prayed faithfully. And I have prayed believing. As much as possible as I have prayed believing. And I have not put God on a timetable. And I just sought God. There's times I've pushed away from the table. And I'm telling you, I got an answer. But it was not the answer I was expecting. And I'm going to be honest to God before you. I was disappointed. But I'm telling you that I had my Heavenly Father's attention even in my times of disappointment, that He buckled me up. His grace ministered to me. His word ministered to me. And He got me through those disappointing times. You understand? We're all going to have disappointing times, but we have His attention. We'll have His attention. All that crosses our path is not going to be pleasant in this life. Doesn't matter who we are. But everything that does cross our path is mixed with the grace of God. And working together, it's for our best. We have His attention in hours of failure. You ever messed up real bad? I've messed up. Did Jonah mess up real bad? Did Peter mess up real bad? And yet they had God's attention, God's grace, and God's help. I'm going to give you this illustration. I'll move to my next point. Did a lot of nursing homes when I was in the Bible school, and that carried over to the First Church in Newport. We did a lot of nursing homes there. And I remember visiting a nursing home one night, and I went by this room, going to another room, and I heard a lady, and she called out, "Help me! Hey, please, help me!" And, you know, I sort of went by, I visited her, I came out of that room, and I hear, "Help me, hey, please, help me!" And so, you know, I went into the room, and she said, "Help me!" And you could tell she was not all there. And I said, "Well, sure, I'd be glad to help you. What can I do for you?" "Help me! They're not taking care! Help me! They're not doing it! Help me!" And so, you know, I mean, I was a little discombobulated, to be honest with you. So I went to the desk, and I said, "Listen," I said, I'm sure you know about this lady. And this, to the best of my recollection, okay, this is what they said. They said, "Oh, preacher, don't worry about her. She's our problem." And really, preacher, nobody pays any attention to her. It's sort of a calloused attitude. Can I say something? I don't want to get a calloused attitude towards God. He said, why? Because they have God's attention. And if they have God's attention, I think they ought to have my attention. Be a blessing and a help to them by the grace of God. You know what kind of an attitude my Lord, my Heavenly Father has? He has an attitude of compassion. You know what our attitudes do? They change. They're up and they're down. But our Father, always, He's ever same. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same loving, compassionate, concerned Father all the time. In the New Testament, how many times does it say our Lord was moved with compassion? Our Lord was moved with compassion. How about Abraham? You know, Abraham hears that God's going to go down and wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. Bunch of Sodomites down there. It was wicked as can be. They needed the judgment of God. And Abraham said, "Lord, would you save him for 50? How's that compassion go? He gets it down to 10. Why? Because he's compassionate. You know, we like him to be compassionate with us, don't we? But you know, sometimes we don't want him to be compassionate with others. Remember the Syrophoenician woman? She's a Greek. She's a Gentile. She's a dirty dog. What do the apostles want to do with her? Get out of here! Don't bother the preacher! And I mean, really, you know, in God's timetable, he's not dealing with Gentiles. He's dealing with Jews. And so, I mean, you know, you know the story better than I do. She comes beseeching the Lord to help her daughter. It wasn't even for herself. It was for her daughter. And the Lord says, look, woman, you know, is it right to, you know, take the children's bread and give it to dogs? I mean, what if I talk to you that way? Huh? You'd be looking for another church. And she said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. She says, but even the dogs get some. What did that do to her heart? That compassion. He said, I can't help myself. Go ahead, I'll take care of her. Remember, Jairus came. Remember, Jairus' daughter's dying. Did you ever think it? Did you ever try to put yourself in the place of some of these people? What do you think Jairus did to try to get his daughter well? Everything. He's out of what? He's out of options. And so what's he heard? He's heard about this man from Galilee that's been healing people and feeding people and walking on water and all that kind of stuff. So he's got a little spark of what? Hope. If I could just get to him. So he's got a little bit of hope. So the Lord says, okay. And I'm telling you, when the Lord takes a step with Jairus, that hope builds. And I mean, I can see Jairus trying to walk fast, and you know, the Lord's just walking, and he's thinking, I wish he'd walk faster. Because she's dying. And so as he's on the way, some woman grabs a hold of his garment. And she had an issue of blood. Do you remember the story? And the Lord stops. I mean, the crowds are thronging him. And he said, who touched me? And old Peter, you can count on Peter to be the first one to shoot off his mouth. Hey, Lord, you see this crowd around here? You're asking me who's touching you. Are you out of your mind? Right? And what's Jairus doing? Let's go, Lord. Lord, let's go. And then here comes the messenger. Don't bother the master. Your daughter's dead. Boy, that hope that had been getting springing. What happened to that hope then? Gone. And as soon as that hope just crushed, what did Jesus say to him? Believe God. Just believe God. Let's go. And went and healed him. So what's that? That's care. That's compassion. That's my Heavenly Father. That's your Heavenly Father. That's the attitude that he has. He wants to help people. Somebody says, did you guys read about Jeff Fink? Did you tell them about him? You got, how many remember Jeff Fink? You know what happened to Jeff Fink last week? He got run over by a train in down in Callan. Dead. 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 You met him in jail, didn't you? You met him in jail. We brought him to church. We paid some of his bills. He robbed us of some money. We visited his house. You picked him up at Home Depot a couple times. We worked with that guy and worked with that guy and worked with that guy. Why? Because our Father, he cared about that guy. As soon as Pastor Matt told me that, I thought to myself, I hope Jeff was the same. They made profession, but we don't know. Somebody got mad at me because I was talking about trying to help, what's his name again, Andrew. Oh, they got mad. Yeah, because they're selfish and self-centered. They thought I should have been helping him, not Andrew. Does Andrew have God's attention? Does God have a good attitude with Andrew? He does. Now, I'm not gonna help him to the tune of $1,000 again, but I'll help him. You never know. So I'm giving up on them. Did God give up on them? I don't think so either, Michaela. You know what I think? I think if they're breathing God's air, God has not given up on them. Now, that's just my theology. You do with it what you want to do with it. But that's my father's attitude. He's got their attention. He's got a good attitude about it. He's gracious. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Let me finish this up. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. No, it's not that late. Matthew chapter 11. Familiar verses, but I think it'll be a blessing to you as I've tried to preach on our Heavenly Father's care for us. Matthew 11, look at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What's his first invitation? It's come. Man, I can remember. I'd be in a meeting, there'd be hundreds of people there. I'd see Brother Jack. Brother Jack would look at me and say, come here, boy. You know what that did to my heart? I'd be at a meeting, and Brother Hank would be at a meeting, and Brother Hank would see me. Man, that guy's face would light up like a Christmas tree, hug my neck. Hey, Brother Keenan, it's good to see you, love. Come. You follow me? Means a lot. Our Father's given us an invitation. Well, I think we ought to give others an invitation. Come. Be part of me. And then what's he say? Take. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take. Now this is our responsibility. Guys, I can preach to you till I'm blue in the face. The Lord can reach out to you and give you all the invitations he wants. But until you assume your responsibility, take my yoke. That means you literally getting into the yoke with your Father, with your Lord and Savior, and plowing that field with him, walking with him, living for him. And then the third thing he says is learn of me. Well, how do you learn of somebody? Well, you spend time with him. You study his book. You read his book. You talk to him. Now, I want to give you a warning here, okay? We've talked about some very personal things here. You can't blame God for your problem. God didn't do you bad. You can't blame God. And you can't blame the world's ills on God. This world is not God's fault. The situation we're in. Anytime, for a lost person or a saved person, God is available. Help is available. I love Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. That's where we get our help. So you say, what are you doing? Don't blame God on your problems. Go to God with your problems, and he will help you. Hebrews, I want you to turn to these two verses. These are the last verses I'll give you today. Hebrews 4:16 is one. And then Psalm 46 is the other. Psalm 46 and Hebrews 4. I'm going to read Hebrews 4:16 first. If you don't have this memorized or marked in your Bible, would you please, because you're going to need this verse in your Christian life. Let's read it together as a congregation. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to ask you a question. How many negatives are in that verse, Peter? There's not a one. And it's assuming you're coming because you need what? What's the first thing you need? Mercy. So you're in a what? You're in a mess. And so what's he say? Come how? Come like a dog with his tail between his legs? No. Come boldly as a what? As a child of God. I'm a child of God. I've been birthed into the family of God. So he says, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help. I got news for you. You and I are going to need grace to help us because we are poor and needy people. Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. What's a refuge? Somebody say haven? I'm sorry. Protection? God is our refuge. Safety. Don't you think about safety? Protected place? A place, it says refuge. It's a safe place. It's a comfortable place. It's a warm place. It's a loving. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, God, whatever the circumstance in our life, we can go to Him. And He will be our refuge. He will be our safe. God is our refuge and strength, and strength, a very present what? In what? You ever get in trouble? Some of you are in trouble right now. I'm in trouble. I have trouble. But He's a very present help in trouble. I'll close with this story. There was a preacher, and he used to get his hair cut at a barber, and he was trying to win the barber to the Lord. The barber professed to be an atheist. Well, he'd known him for years and years and years, and they were out walking around town one day, and they were going through sort of the bad section of town, you know, the ghetto, the slums. And this is what the barber said to the preacher. He said, "This is why I cannot believe in a God of love. If He is as kind and loving as you say He is, why does He permit all this poverty, all this disease, all this drugs and liquors and all this crime? And why does He allow that?" And the preacher didn't say nothing. They just walked on for another block or two. And they came against, I guess it was a homeless man. He was sitting there on the side of a building. He had long, scraggly hair. Looked like it hadn't been washed in, you know, months. He had, you know, half inch of stubble on his face and just dirty and down and out. And the preacher said, "You know, you can't be a very good barber." He said, "What are you talking about? You've been getting your hair cut." He said, "Look at that guy. Look at the hair on him. Look at his face." And the barber says, "You can't blame me for his condition. I can't help it if he's like that. He's never come to my shop and given me a chance to help him." And the preacher said, "Then you can't blame God when they won't come to Him and ask Him for help." Amen? Guys, I just really felt a burden this morning to preach on my Heavenly Father and how much He loves us, what His attitude is about things, temporal versus eternal, what His attitude and compassion is for each individual, no matter what tragedies they might have gone through, and then how we should learn from our Father. Is it not true that we pick up stuff from our dads? You know, it bothers me. It bothers me. You know what bothers me? Would you guys listen to me? Would you give me the liberty to talk to you from my heart? Growing up, my dad did not have a good relationship with his children because he did not communicate with his children. You understand what I'm saying? Now, he beat us. And, you know, I can pick a handful of times in 18 years of living in his home that I did something with my dad. But there was not a close relationship. And, you know, we get married, and I'm in the ministry before you know it, and I start having children. And do you know one of my weaknesses with my kids growing up was? Communication. Tina, you would have thought that because I went through it, and that I would have given more attention. Now, it's not that I didn't try to communicate. I did try. But I don't think I did it as good as I should have done. Now, there's some of my kids I get along with great, and then there's other of the kids, you know, the relationship isn't that great. Are y'all with me? And then here I am, you know, a grandfather. Boy, I'm working hard at having a good relationship with all my kids, and it's just not that easy sometimes. But I really want to have a good relationship with my grandchildren. I want to affect these kids for God. And everything good about my Heavenly Father, I see they should be characteristics of mine. And if I'm full of the Spirit of God, I should produce that fruit. And I should minister to people. Anthony Fusco, John. John's oldest boy. He calls me Pop. I told him he could. There's a bunch of people in there that I've known them since they were kids, and now they're 28, 30, 31. They're grown-ups. They're having kids. They hug my neck. Preacher, I love you. They talk to me about problems in life. All of us should seek to want to have those characteristics of our Heavenly Father. And we should want to be a blessing. We should want to be a help. Any jackass can knock a wall down. But it takes an artist. It takes a craftsman to build. Anybody can criticize someone. But it takes the love and the grace of God to build a relationship with someone. And that's what our Father's concerned about people. I would like to hope, Kevin, that I have helped you in your life. That I've discipled you. Do you follow me? Man, if we're all working and trying to help, and be a I'm not talking about being overbearing now. Do you understand? You with me? I'm going to shut up. Let's pray.